This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. The budgeting process has begun for the coming fiscal year for both the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. The Common Council and Board of Supervisors, respectively, will consider the budgets proposed by the mayor and the county executive.
While there are no earth-shattering headlines from either proposal, as both Tom Barrett and Chris Abele seek re-election next year, a new analysis of both budgets points to some questions. The analyses come from the Nonpartisan Public Policy Forum, and Forum President Rob Henkin joins us in the Lake Effect studio to explain. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
So I wouldn't always do this, but I went back and looked at the questions I asked you last year around this time about the two budgets in question, and that's partly because you actually referenced the movie Groundhog Day in your brief, at least about the city budget. And so this is what I asked last year. You say there is praise for the short-term approach of both Milwaukee County and the city to budget challenges, but caution about longer-term structural issues. And that seems to hold true again this year?
It does. And I've said to both the mayor and the county executive that in some ways they're their own worst enemy. They manage to make it through every budget year, seemingly, without substantial cuts in service, without substantial increases in revenue. There's certain fortuitous circumstances that allow them to essentially absorb the growth in their fixed costs. And some of the underlying structural issues that I've talked about with you so many times in terms of just very flat revenue streams, unable to accommodate long-term expenditure needs, those are moved under the surface because of some ability to use some fortuitous circumstances to get by for another year.
Well, and is the point here that the fortuitous circumstances may go away at some point?
Yeah. So namely, the fortuitous circumstance that is most prominent in the budgets of both City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, and also Milwaukee Public Schools for that matter, we analyzed their budget in the spring, is healthcare. And there were a series of changes to healthcare plan design at both the city and the county. There were changes in terms of the requirements of employees and retirees for both out-of-pocket costs and in the case of the active employees for more sharing of the costs of premiums. Some of those are directly attributable to Wisconsin Act 10 and the ability of those governments to unilaterally enact changes. Others were in the works or in place prior to Act 10. But regardless of all of that, these savings have so far exceeded what both governments even had hoped for. And so they keep on rolling into the next year's budget. And eventually, that is going to stop. Eventually, they are going to budget closer to what actually happens, which still they have bent the curve in fiscal largo. And so the 7 or 8% annual increases that were once taking place should still be at 3 to 4%. But once we start to see the 3 to 4 increases in healthcare costs every year, it is going to be more difficult to accommodate some of these other expenditure pressures.
All right, so maybe it makes sense to look at both of these budget proposals with an eye towards anything that represents a substantial change from the previous year's budget. Is there anything that the 2016 proposed city budget does that is radically or somewhat different than the current year's budget?
You know, the city budget, Mitch, there's some interesting things going on in the police department budget. There is the effort to maintain the sworn strength level, and that may not seem like much, but over the years, the county has had to accommodate the fact that some stimulus money that had enabled them to put more officers on the street expired, so they had to supplant that with local dollars. There's the body cameras. There's money in there for body cameras for police officers. But for the most part, no. You're seeing most city departments essentially at status quo. That's not necessarily a bad thing. There have been years where status quo would have they would have been envious to be at status quo if one department had that and another didn't. But we're really just seeing a continuation. We're seeing a slightly bigger draw on the tax stabilization fund, but that is perfectly justifiable because the fund was replenished at a very healthy level this past year. I think the one noticeable change in the City of Milwaukee budget is the lack of a property tax levy increase. In previous budgets, the mayor has typically proposed an inflationary increase in the property tax levy, roughly equivalent to the growth in new construction. In this year's budget, he kept the property tax level, and so that was something new and different.
You referenced the Milwaukee Police Department, and in terms of considering how the budget treats the Milwaukee Police Department, one has to look through it, look at it through the lens of the rise in violent crime that people are perceiving.
Yes. So I think that a conversation can and should take place regarding whether the existing sworn strength level is appropriate given the rising trend in terms of homicides. But to get at that question, Mitch, you have to determine, do more cops on the street actually make the difference? Are there other investments in technology or even in employment and social programs that could have an impact on reducing crime? What we did in our report this year was that we compared Milwaukee to four other cities. The New York Times actually published a piece back in August that looked at several cities with increasing homicide rates. And so we took a look at four other cities that were most comparable to Milwaukee in terms of size. And we essentially found that Milwaukee is right in the middle in terms of expenditures per capita on police and in terms of sworn police officers per capita.
So you can't necessarily extrapolate just from the number of police officers per capita the impact it's going to have on the homicide rate one way or the other without looking at these other kinds of factors.
Exactly. It's a complicated question. You can't simply look at budget numbers, but what the mayor has touted is that he had the ability to keep the sworn strength levels at the existing levels, and that is considered to be sufficient for the next year.
Public safety also yields some questions about the county budget in terms of funding for the sheriff's office. How has that department fared in recent budgets, both in terms of dollars spent and how that's affected service?
So the sheriff's budget clearly is one of two major issues in the county budget this year that the county board will be grappling with in the weeks ahead. What has happened is that the sheriff was given what's called a $9.8 million lump sum reduction. So essentially, whereas other county departments were made whole for the fact that the county's pension contribution increased substantially this year to accommodate pay increases for employees, the sheriff essentially was told to eat about $9.8 million dollars of additional costs. Now, that's a lot of money for a budget that has endured cuts in previous years. In each of the past 4 years, the county executive has proposed substantial cuts to the sheriff's budget. The county board, during budget deliberations, has restored some of those, but there have been cuts nonetheless, and the sheriff actually ran a $5 million deficit in 2014. The question is, can he possibly accommodate that level of a lump sum reduction without either dramatically reducing services or running a deficit again? And the sheriff has already indicated that he is at minimum in terms of his ability to carry out his state-mandated responsibilities. Therefore, if nothing changes, in all likelihood, he will have to engage in deficit spending.
How should we – the other big question is the draw from the county's reserves. How should we evaluate whether circumstances are dire enough to warrant this drawdown of the county's reserve funds?
So that is indeed the other big issue. The county executive has recommended a draw of $17 million from county reserves. That's a big number. The public policy forum for years had expressed severe concern regarding the county's overall lack of reserves. So the good news is the county now has reserves to draw upon. The questionable issue here is $17 million too much? The administration has said that it will do that level of draw this year, take about $6.5 million out of a debt service reserve next year. That would leave the county with about $10 million in reserve. That's not a lot of money at all and would generally be graded as insufficient for a government with a $1.4 billion budget. However, again, that's still more money than the county has had previously in reserves. And what has to be weighed is, are the programs needs facing county departments sufficient to justify the draw on the reserve to avoid cuts, or should the county start should it be starting to put away money in its drive toward fiscal sustainability?
Of course, back in the staying on the county side, our interviews over the last couple of years have asked whether the county could keep getting savings from essentially keeping salaries flat and increasing benefits costs for its employees. And this budget actually calls for a salary increase.
Well, and I hope that if nothing else, your listeners certainly become aware that there are no easy choices when it comes to issues like this. So it is indeed possible to criticize the substantial draw from the reserve. But as you just said, one of the things that's notable in this budget is that employees are given a small pay increase. In previous years, they've been kept flat, and they have not been asked to contribute more toward their health care plans in 2016. That is much different from previous years. So again, what's the better solution to to the fact that the county does have to accommodate this increase in its pension fund contribution? Is it a draw from reserves? Is it asking for more from employees? Is it looking at county departments and determining where spending cuts should take place? Or, in the case of the county, is it increasing revenues? Because the county executive, once again, like the mayor this year, but for him it's been five straight years now, has proposed no property tax levy increase.
So the big question in the cases of both budgets appears to be sustainability, which is, again, maybe not an unusual question to be left with.
Precisely. And again, the structural issues are still there. There are cost pressures that need to be accommodated. And when your revenue streams are going up at the rate of inflation, then you have a fighting chance. What we have seen at both the city and the county is a substantial reliance on state revenues, which are flat or going down, reluctance to raise the property tax, reluctance to raise fees, and not having the ability to really pursue other forms of local revenue sources. So that's an issue going forward, without question.
Rob, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Henken is the president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. You can find links to their briefs on the proposed Milwaukee city and county budgets from WUWM.com.